now you're going to bring it up and just put salt on the wound?
Will you stop yelling at me?
No!
Live from the CG Technology Studio in the entertainment capital of the world.
No, no, you're making me nervous, but seriously.
It's the T.C. Martin Show.
No, listen.
Is there a question?
You're making me nervous.
Diagnosis.
Oh, and a foul!
Prognosis.
Well, that's good.
Osmosis.
And they'll reset. Nowitzki again for the lead. Bang!
It's the Doctor, T.C. Martin.
Ring the bell, the man with the clientele. You like that, Magnum? I'm throwing out some old school for you right there. You like it, don't you?
The man with the clientele.
Oh, man.
What was that, Eric B. and Rakim?
No,
I know you're not that cool.
That.
I know you're not that cool to know Eric B. and Rakim.
Come on, man. Cooler and cool is cold. Don't you forget, too cold to be told.
Too Cold Scorpio?
There you go. Very nice. Very nice. All right, glad to have you here.
Or was he the Iceman King Parsons at that point?
Both. Yeah. Same guy. Same guy.
Or Flash Funk in the WWF days?
Wow.
Yeah, that was an awful gimmick.
Just like our good friend Mick Foley, you know, about four different characters.
Cactus Jack.
That's what you got to do.
Bang, bang.
You would be surprised how many guys that were different characters and they were underneath the hood. They would wear the mask.
Oh, yeah. Well,
guys that you would have no idea. You said, well, I've seen that guy before. And then now I didn't know that was him because he wore the mask.
Well, I know that Kim Chi from... he was the handler for Kamala, the Ugandan headhunter or whatever he was.
Exactly.
Was actually the Brooklyn Brawler.
Yes.
Brother Love, I think he played another character as well. Who was it? Paul Bearer?
Before the Brooklyn Brawler, he was
Steve Lombardi.
Exactly. The jobber.
The jobber. Well, the Brooklyn Brawler wasn't much different. He was a jobber, too.
True story. And one of the things, and we were talking some old wrestling Poughkeepsie days.
And the War Memorial Coliseum in White
Square
Plains.
Garden last night. But there was one card during that time when Lombardi actually wrestled three times in one night.
As three different characters.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, he was known for doing that. You know, I was always a fan of Canada's greatest athlete, Iron Mike Sharp.
Yes, right.
And he used to wear the brace on his arm, go, ah, when they would introduce him.
There you go.
Hey, he was great. Mike Sharp, I think he passed away about 2 or 3 years ago.
He was only cheered at the Toronto Maple Leaf Gardens, by the way.
Yes.
Only time he was ever cheered.
Because they did not like him at Montreal Forum because he was not French-Canadian, like Rene Goulet, who was a fan favorite at Montreal, but he never won in Montreal because he was...
This was not my intent. It never is my intent to talk wrestling, but it always comes back to this, which is okay, I guess.
Well, you know, I saw the Leaping Lenny Poffo was on a conservative talk show the other night. So the genius spitting some lyrics, if that's your thing. But
Jesus is still around, huh?
He was a well-spoken guy. You know, I remember when he was a jobber, and you know, most people don't know when he was rebranded as the genius.
Right.
He actually beat Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, that was contested though.
And it was a count out.
Yeah, there you go. That's no good.
Yeah, he didn't actually pin Hulk Hogan. He won via count out. But Hogan never got counted out. To me, the worst though was when they brought the Iron Sheik back as Colonel Mustafa.
No good.
Because first of all, it was trying to play on the whole Iraq war thing. But anyone who watched wrestling knew that it was the Iron Sheik who was from Iran.
Exactly. Exactly.
That was
Vince McMahon for you.
Yeah.
All right, today on the program, Bernie Fratto will join us. We'll talk NCAA tournament. Maybe we could talk a little wrestling with Bernie, too. I mean, he's an old-school guy from Detroit.
You think he was going to Joe Louis Arena?
I'm sure he was.
To go check out. Maybe he went to the Pontiac Silverdome for WrestleMania 3.
I'm sure he saw my good friend, who now passed away a little while ago, George the Animal Steele.
George Steele, Michigan State guy.
There you go. So maybe Bernie can bring up some memories about that.
How sad is it that I probably know more about late 80s, early 90s wrestling than I know about sports? I think that's pretty sad.
Yeah, that's it. Well, you'd be probably one of my nominees to host an old 80s wrestling show. So there you go.
I would love it. And you know what? I would like to be... I always thought it'd be cool to be a manager. I'd take a bump. I'd get suplexed or powerbombed or something.
I would have hired you. You could have been my timekeeper or one of the managers. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have to get better with the trash talking because I'm not a great trash talker.
Yeah, no.
I was a great trash talker when I was in the heat of competition.
Honestly, if I was still promoting wrestling, you know what I'd hire you as? True story. Wouldn't even think twice about it because you would flourish.
Midget wrestler?
A referee. You would be a fantastic referee. Yeah.
Like Dave and Earl Hebner?
Absolutely.
Yeah, like Dangerous Danny Davis?
You'd be good.
I'd want to be the crooked ref, though.
Well, you know, you got to work your way up to crooked. You have to get the fans to trust you first before you can turn.
Yes.
But I could see you, you know, giving the guy, you know, getting in his face and counting him out and that sort of thing, getting spit on and this and that.
Oh, I don't know if I want that.
And then have a guy toss you over the top rope into the third row.
Yeah, that seems like it would kind of hurt.
Yeah. One of the wrestlers rip your light blue shirt off. You know, not the black and white stripes, because that's not real wrestling.
The light blue
shirt.
It has like the logo of the state on it and like some fake like governing body.
Don't overthink it, okay, man? I'm just saying you'd be a very good referee. You could play into that, getting the red face, getting all fired up.
Yeah.
Your head into the turnbuckle, you could probably sell that pretty well.
Count fast.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
And then the guy who loses or missed a handful of tights.
There you go.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
Foot on the rope, missed that. Yeah, that's cool stuff.
And you could turn your back and throw your hands up in the air like, what?
Yes.
I didn't see that. I didn't see that. That would be you. You would be a perfect referee.
I just wouldn't want the figure four because I've been put in the figure four a leg lock before, and that actually does hurt.
Yeah, you don't want that.
No, definitely not.
not good. All right. Better than the giant splash, though. That's all I got to say.
Well,
don't be
depends.
The recipient of that.
You know, you have to kind of lean up a little bit to take that splash.
I can't get off this subject. It's unbelievable. I feel another promo coming on. There we go. All right, you want to save the day? 876-1340, the phone number. That's it, 876-1340. We'll take some calls first segment if you like. Area code 702, your best wrestling moments, NCAA tournament upsets. Like I said, we'll talk to Bernie Fratto about that. Want to touch upon some breaking news. You mentioned it, Magnum, in the top of the hour update with DeAndre Ayton deciding to forego his next 3 years or however many years he wanted to stay at Arizona. We know this is going to be a one and done. And I am perfectly fine with this one and done. That's right. Write it down. Record it. Because, you know, I'm anti the one and dones altogether. But this is the case where this makes perfect sense. He's 7'1", 260 pounds. He is ready for the NBA. DeAndre Ayton, Pac-12 Player of the Year, averaged 20 points a game, 11.5 rebounds a game, 61% he shot from the floor, and he is the consensus, and should be, number one overall pick of the NBA draft. That is when you say, there's nothing more for me to accomplish in the college game. I am ready. I don't need any other further development. I'm going to go to the NBA, have no problem with it, and you're going to be a number one overall pick. Okay? This is not the case of the one and dones that we've been seen or starting to hear again. This is not Brandon McCoy, not Steven Zimmerman, not Markelle Fultz, not Lonzo Ball, not Harry Giles, not Zach Collins, not Jonathan Isaac.
Harry Giles, wasn't he the singer from that pop group from England? Oh, no, that's Harry Styles.
Is that a movie you're talking about, too?
But he was in Dunkirk.
Yeah. No, Harry Giles.
I know.
You know
who
he is.
Duke.
He went to Duke.
Dukey,
and again, you know, went very high in the draft last year. And guys like this that, and again, I go back to Zimmerman, go back to now Brandon McCoy, stay in school, up your stock, get better. And I understand there's an argument out there that say, well, they could still get drafted and then they have the opportunity to get better and get coached up. That's fine, but you're not going in the first round. If you do go in the first round, you're going to be a late first rounder, and the writing is on the wall for all of these guys. It's D-League/G-League. They call it the G-League now after Gatorade.
Yes.
But you know what I mean. The D-League, the G-League, you're destined for that. Then you're destined to go overseas. Your NBA career is probably less than 3 years. Your total playing career could probably be less than 4 or 5 years. And is DeAndre Ayton going to face that? No. He's going to be number one overall pick. He's going to get a huge signing bonus. He's going to have a long NBA career as long as he stays healthy, and that's what you do. You only go when you're ready. But these ham and eggers can never decide when they're ready. They think they're ready, and they get bad advice from agents, parents, friends. No. No good.
Well, you know, I've been pretty consistent in my theory on this on this, basically since the NBA implemented the rule that they will no longer take high school players. Give these players the option just like baseball players have. DeAndre Ayton certainly could have come or turned pro after high school. There's no reason why he should not have been able to. However, my solution has always been for a decade or however long it's been, college baseball, Major League Baseball, they get it right. If I feel I am ready to turn pro at 18, then let me turn pro after high school. But if I sign on to play at a college, I'm there for 3 years. If I go the JUCO route, after 2 years, I can go pro. You know, and you know what? Here's the other thing. The NBA, and as crazy as we think LeVar Ball is, and he's a whack job, he's got the right idea. The NBA should develop a real minor league system just like baseball has. Obviously, you don't need rookie league and short A and high A and double A and triple A. But the G League is a joke. It's terrible because the NBA puts nothing into it. They have their name on it, but in reality, there's no real minor league system.
There's nothing. There's no marketing behind it. There's no pay behind it.
And here's the other thing.
There's nothing behind it.
And maybe it's just me because I'm built differently. If I'm one of these college players who isn't good enough to play in the NBA, but after 3 years I think I can go play in Europe, guess what? I'm going to go play in Spain. I'm going to go play in Italy. I'm going to go play in Turkey where I'm going to make a lot. I had a guy I knew who played in Italy, played professionally in Italy. His apartment was paid for. His transportation was paid for. Everything was paid for. Plus, he wasn't paying taxes in the U.S. because he wasn't working in the U.S. He wasn't paying taxes in Italy because he wasn't an Italian citizen. So he was making a pretty decent amount of money. And everything he was making, he was able to pocket.
Now, you can make a very good living playing overseas. There's no doubt. But back to the original point, you're talking about baseball and basketball, and there's a huge difference in the way that you run that. But there shouldn't be because they're college sports. They're D1 college sports, and it should be the exact same situation no matter what sport it is. If there's a professional league that is attached, and basically that is the feeder system, which college basketball is for the NBA, which college baseball really is for Major League Baseball, but it's totally different. I mean, football and basketball are somewhat similar, but there are different requirements there. They figure, okay, you need to stay in college a little bit longer because of the physicalness of the National Football League and getting crunched and killed. So that's that. But
I see football. It should that's the only one though. Because you know what?
In the NHL, it should be on a par though. Sports should be on a par of that next level. But how even long like do you have to stay in college
in
to play?
Hockey, Patrick Laine is 19 years old. He scored 41 goals this year. So I mean when Wayne Gretzky was 19, he was the best player on the planet. You know, so football is the exception, I think, because of the physical nature of it. Because, look, at 18, you are not physically developed enough to go up and play against some of these guys in the NFL who've been playing for 5-6 years as a pro. But the NBA, there's plenty of young guys who could come. I mean, look at LeBron James. I mean, he's the best player in the world.
Yeah, but he was a freak of nature body-wise. You got to remember that.
Kobe Bryant.
There's a lot of skinny sticks. Like, but look at Brandon McCoy. I mean, look at him right now.
But he
needs to put on 30 pounds. He's got to bulk up.
But the other thing is, look, you're going to get better coaching in the NBA than you are at the college level as well.
What are you really going to get that better coaching?
Here's the thing, because
at the Santa Cruz, whatever they are.
Maybe not the junior banana slugs.
Not the banana slugs, but the Warriors.
If
junior farm system there.
Now with the state of college basketball with Krzyzewski and Calipari, you've got these guys for basically 4 or 5 months to coach them up. There's really no investment from these coaches other than I want to win a championship and I'm going to do whatever I can. They don't care about the development. They care about winning.
Because that's the way the rules are in place now.
Whereas in the NBA.
It never used to be that way.
Yeah, but back when guys were staying. I mean, when we're not going that far back, where there was an emphasis on developing a guy. You know, back when kids could. Remember when, I don't remember it, but I know Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, he couldn't play at UCLA as a freshman.
Yeah, absolutely correct.
You know, right. They had freshman teams. Yeah. But in the NBA, there is a vested interest in these franchises to develop their talent. Do you think when the Sixers draft a guy third overall, they don't care if he develops? They're going based on potential? No. They're going to invest everything they can to help this guy develop.
And that's the current state of the NBA. But again, with the decision-making process, again, if you decide to forego the rest of your college years, like so many of these guys, I just ran off a bunch of them, you know that you're going to end up in the G League. They don't know, but that's where they're going to end up. They're going to end up in the G League, and then their only other option is overseas. They're cutting their career short. And to my point, if DeAndre Ayton, if he was allowed to go straight from high school to the NBA, look what he did this year. Even though Arizona got bumped in the first round, bottom line is he really enhanced his stock this year for what he did during the course of the regular season and specifically in the Pac-12 tournament in the postseason.
Well, and if you believe the stories that have come out, he enhanced his stock in other areas as well. But
we'll go there.
You know, the thing is, I just wish the NBA would be done with this. Look, the reason the NBA refuses to do anything is because they know that the college system is basically better than a minor league system for them. And they're benefiting off of it without having to put anything into it. But my thinking is it would behoove the NBA to invest in an actual minor league system because you're going to make the product better.
And that's what they're talking. We talked about that last week. And you mentioned LeVar Ball. That's another, you know, sidebar. But Adam Silver talked about this is what they want to do and what they need to do. And that's what they're talking about doing. Now, here's some more NBA news. You're going to love this. I don't know if you heard about this or not. But the NBA is toying. And this is a little bit more than toying. This is actually a proposal that is going up through the NBA offices and has got some serious consideration here. They're toying with the idea of having a play-in format for the playoffs. Did you hear about this?
No, I have not heard that.
Here's how crazy
it sounds stupid, though.
Wait, well, where do you think they get it from?
College basketball.
The March Madness. Yeah. There you go. The March Madness is happening. So here is the proposal. 1 through 6, they're secured playoff spots. But 7 through 10 for the playoffs, for the seeding, not guaranteed. So what they're going to do is for teams 7, 8, 9, and 10 have a tournament format, single elimination style. And here's how it's going to go. It's not how you would think it would go where, okay, well, you know, 7's going to play 10 and 8's going to play 9 and then they're going to play each other. No. Check this out. 7 is going to play 8 and 7 is going to host the game in a one game, and the winner will be locked into the 7th seed in the playoffs. Then 9 and 10 are going to play. They'll play one game at the home of the 9 team with the winner facing the loser of the 7 versus 8 game. And then those guys play, and the winner of that game gets the 8 seed.
Well, then it's not a single elimination tournament because basically if you're the 8.
Exactly.
That's dumb. What they should do, if they're going to do it, is 7 plays 10 and 8 plays 9. The winners are in the playoffs. How hard is that? That's a pretty simple concept.
Because they have to overthink everything. It's just like the rule changes in every sport. They have to overthink it, and it is ridiculous. Now, a reporter asked LeBron James about this yesterday. I don't know if you heard LeBron's response, but his quote was, "Are you kidding me? That's whacked." He goes, "We play 82 games during the course of the regular season, and then you want to have a single elimination after we bust our tail for nearly 6 months?" And he's 100% correct. That's what the regular season is all about, is to work your way to get to the playoffs, earn your spot in the playoffs, and earn your seeding in the playoffs. So if you do very well, you get the 1-2 seed, you earn that. You don't get to skate in here because you close the season losing 14 to 16 games, and now you're the 10 seed. If you're the 9 or the 10, you're out of the conversation, you're done. But you know why the NBA is talking about this? Because all the talk about tanking. All these teams are tanking. Well, maybe this won't have these guys tank. We'll fine them. Do something.
Get rid of that. That's ridiculous because I'm looking at the Eastern Conference right now, right? Miami is a 7 seed, Milwaukee 8 seed, Detroit 9, Charlotte 10. Neither of those teams can win the draft lottery.
Right.
So it's the only teams that are going to be in the draft lottery are, what, the top 5 teams or whatever that could actually get the number 1 overall pick? You know, yeah, they'll be in there to determine where they're picking, but as far as getting that number 1 overall pick, the other thing I think is the NBA is all about TV. But here's the thing. I'm not watching Miami versus Charlotte to see who gets in the playoffs.
Exactly.
I don't care.
You're not going to be riveted by a one-game play-in?
Now, I might watch Milwaukee only because of Greek Freak. But in the Western Conference, I'm not watching the Jazz and the Nuggets, and I'm not watching the Clippers and the T-Wolves. I don't care.
They actually think that this is going to bring drama the way the NCAA tournament does. And it's not.
No,
if you want to equate it to the play-in games, the 2 16 seeds going against each other, I mean, not real attractive. It's really not. That's why they played on Tuesday night in Dayton. That's why they played at 4 o'clock in the afternoon Pacific time. And they've had to spice this format up with the 11 seeds coming in to make it, well, there's some teams now that at least we're familiar with, and that's why they had to go that route. This is not a formula for success. And to LeBron James' point, you make the playoffs based on the regular season, end of story. Quit trying to gimmick everything up here.
Well, it's a terrible idea for a multitude of reasons, but the other thing is, look, at the end of the day, you should reward the 8 best teams. You know, it's like LeBron said, they play 82 games to determine who are the top 8 teams. It has nothing to do with tanking. Why should the Jazz be punished because maybe the Dallas Mavericks are tanking? You know, why should you punish that team that might be the 8th seed? You know, I think the first round of the NBA playoffs are completely unwatchable to begin with because it's usually horrible. But the worst thing to me the NBA ever did was going from that best of 5 to the best of 7 because you eliminate any intrigue. Over 7 games, the Rockets are going to beat the Jazz. But in a 5-game series, the Jazz may win 1 or 2 on the road or at home, I mean, to make it interesting. You know, I remember there were upsets in the first round of the playoffs when you had that best of 5. Now you know 1 and 2 seeds are going through without any issue.
And plus it extends the season, you know, in another week and a half or so, and now you're getting the NBA Finals that end in the middle of June, which is ridiculous. All right, Bernie Fratto is going to join us. We'll talk NCAA tournament. I'm sure we'll talk about the Nevada Wolfpack as well, that and a whole lot more coming your way. That Nevada Wolfpack, or the Truck Stop Truckies, as you like to call them?
Yeah, there's only one Nevada, and it's in Las Vegas,
baby.
Wow. Yeah.
Now you sound as bad as those guys up north.
I did. That was tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah. All right. You better take off your silver and blue today, too.
Silver and blue. Macho Man does not wear silver and blue.
Yeah, brother. All right, back with more T.C. Martin Show right here on Fox. Yeah. Glad to have you here. We are a Wednesday, middle of the old work week, the proverbial hump day, but more important, we are a day away from the Sweet 16. We had a break Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Of course, unless you love your NIT action, then of course that's fine too. But tomorrow it all starts back up again. We get ready with our good friend, Bernie Fratto. What's going on, my friend?
I love the Earth, Wind, and Fire bumper music, but I digress.
Yes, but you know, Bernie, we're not going to give you an Earth, Wind, Fire, a softball like that today. Now, maybe at the end, if you're good, maybe we'll throw you a bone. You never know.
All right. That's about the best I could hope for, I guess.
All right, man. Let's talk about your bracket. How is your bracket doing?
I'm hanging in there. Remember, I've got Michigan to win it all, and I dodged a big bullet. But I would say this, that, look, this is what we learn every year, and that this tournament is the U.S. Open for college basketball, and when you get past your regional and your sectional, as it were, and you get into the dance, anything can happen. This past weekend was the most topsy-turvy, frenetic weekend I've ever seen in, 35 years of following the tournament. And I would just say this. There are no great teams, and in a 40-minute single-elimination game, anything can happen, and it's been proven now.
Absolutely. I agree with you. There are no great teams, and that just opens up the drama. We saw plenty of that. And it's actually, I love the upsets. I've been talking about this the last couple of days, but it's very, very maddening from a bracket standpoint and even a betting standpoint. It can be very, very maddening to see, you know, these favorites go down like this.
Well, the tournament in the bracket never unfolds like people want them to. I mean, take the South region alone, yet the top 4 seeds not even make it to the Sweet 16. That's never happened in the history of the tournament. Let's also not bury the lead. When a 16 finally beats a 1, they not only beat them a TC, they beat them by 21 points, and that game actually has a little bit of special meaning to me, and I'll tell you why, because back in 97, when Steve Fisher was unceremoniously removed from University of Michigan, they brought in his replacement coach, and it was a guy by the name of Brian Ellerby from Maryland, Baltimore County. Now, I signed on my show that night. We took one call after another, and the fans were livid. How can we do this? Who the hell is Maryland, Baltimore County? They're nobody. This is Michigan. They've got to hire a better coach than this. This is ridiculous. People were losing their minds. Well, 21 years later, they're not nobody. They're the only team to beat a number 1 seed. But here's where the story gets rich for me, TC. They're led by a guy named Jairus Lyles. And over the years, we've heard the Kevin Pitsnoggles and Goose Givens and names that will live forever. I'm afraid Jairus Lyles' name won't for some reason, but here's a young man who was recruited by Shaka Smart, didn't work out, transfers to Robert Morris, That was a disaster. Ends up at Maryland Baltimore County. Scores 28 points in the biggest game in the history of the tournament, one could argue. And guess what? Both of his parents are graduates of University of Virginia. You can't make this stuff up.
Right. No, great story. Great drama, just fantastic. And again, even you're shaking your head like, I can't believe it. It's just such a feel-good story, especially, you know, when you see, you know, a point guard that weighs 140 pounds soaking wet.
132.
132, there you go. I stand corrected. And that wouldn't even make the junior welterweight limit, Bernie. I mean, that's not even the lightweight limit at 135. That guy's a blown-up featherweight.
He was zipping around the floor Friday night like Drazen Petrovic, God rest his soul. And that team played with great energy. And as the game wound down, they didn't play not to lose. They said, we didn't come here to Hail Caesar. We came to conquer Caesar. And they just kept jacking three, sharing the ball. And next thing you know, they made history.
All right, let's talk about the Nevada run. Two victories, two so-called upsets against two teams that have not had much success in their NCAA tournament school history. We're talking about Texas and then Cincinnati. So I don't want to bury on the Wolfpack too much here, but your take on this Nevada Wolfpack and how far do you see them going?
Well, first of all, and I'm going to address that in a second, but I actually had Cincinnati losing to Texas in the round of 32. The last six times Cincinnati had gotten a better than number four seed, they lost five times out of those six within their first two games, so they never got to the Sweet 16.
Well, Bernie, let me say this. The last 6 years, Cincinnati has been eliminated in either the first or the second round. They went to the Sweet 16 in 2012, but since 2013 to this year, first or second round exit. And that's my point exactly. And people, you know, in another topic there, of course, maybe for another day, but we could talk about it here. You know, people were all bent out of shape about the Mick Cronin situation. This guy hasn't won anything at Cincinnati.
No. And again, they were, what were they, TC? A number three seed or a two seed? They were a high
seed
as well. So
this year, two seed, yes.
A two seed. So back to Nevada. They've played 80 minutes of basketball in their two games, and they've led a total of 4 minutes and 26 seconds. But they led when it mattered most. And I don't know what's in this team's DNA. If you recall, last year in conference play, they went to the pit at New Mexico. They trailed by 27, came back and won that game. So I guess we, you know, let's look up Thursday night. And if Nevada's trailing by about 35 at halftime, I figure they got them where they want them. In all seriousness, I really like this Loyola Chicago team. They're very connected offensively. They're very intelligent defensively. They're a physical defensive team. They beat two pretty good athletic opponents in Tennessee and Miami that had extremely quick backcourts. They've got a good low post presence in this Perkins kid that can play with his back to the basket. Nevada's going to have no answer for that. Long and short of it is, I like Loyola Chicago to prevail tomorrow night.
And I like Porter Moser. Talked about this yesterday. He's a guy that runs good stuff. He was a highly sought-after coach by a lot of the schools in the Midwest. Went to Loyola and has really built this program very, very nicely. And he gets some kids that are really under the radar. But once he gets them, Bernie, he molds them. And the chemistry on this team with
yes,
these players is fantastic. And it's night and day difference when you watch their offense compared to, say, Nevada's, where Nevada's is more of your, you know, one-on-one stuff, some high pick-and-roll
right,
stuff, and they rely so much on burying the three. Loyola doesn't do that. They run some fantastic stuff, and just from a schematical standpoint, Loyola is much better in that regard. Do they have maybe the athleticism that Nevada has? No, they don't. But just from a coaching standpoint, I love Porter Moser.
Well, all points duly noted, and I would say this, that Loyola Chicago's first two opponents, Miami and Tennessee, had better athletes in Nevada as well.
True.
And they were able to neutralize that athleticism through their connectivity. And as you mentioned on offense, the way that they share the ball, 75% of their made baskets involve an assist. That's saying something. And by the way, in addition to a low post game and their ability to break down offenses and find gaps in the defenses, or break down defenses and find gaps and exploit matchups, they've also got four guys that can shoot it from behind the arc. So they're a complete team. And, you know, they really competed. Now, yes, they had two last-second wins as well, but I think they're more of a composed team. I wasn't really that high on Nevada this year. I was never that high. They were very good in the Mountain West Conference. The Mountain West Conference is not a great conference. yes, they found their way into the Sweet 16. You don't just do that by accident. They deserve to be there because they earned it. But I just like the steadiness and the composure that Loyola Chicago is going to bring tomorrow night. And, I think Nevada's taken this about as far as they can go. Having said that, the way this tournament has been blowing up with everything you don't expect, who knows what's going to happen.
All right. Bernie Fratto joins us, of course, during the course of the regular season, the UNLV season. Bernie hosts the Rebel Minute on the LV SportsNetwork.com. All right, let's take a look at each one of these matchups. K-State taking on Kentucky. Here's a 9 seed in K-State, but the best team left in the tournament right now, Bernie, against a bunch of 18-year-olds from Kentucky. And this Kentucky team, they have really peaked at the right time. They've been playing some fantastic basketball as of late, in my opinion, probably the hottest team right now. And but K-State, Bruce Weber, give this guy some credit. We saw him earlier on here in Las Vegas. They struggled against Arizona State when they were playing over at the Orleans. But this K-State team is a much different team. They are battle-tested from that Big 12 conference. I think this game could be another one of these games that goes down to the wire, even though Kentucky's a 5.5-point choice.
I like the dog and the points. I think it's a coin flip. Dean is going to play. Without Dean, K-State probably wouldn't have any chance, but he's only going to get 15 to 18 minutes. This Kentucky team, like you said, is young. 7 freshmen and 2 sophomores in the rotation. But now here we are at the end of the year, and people bag on John Calipari. I think he's a good coach. This is a coin flip game. It's going to come down to who's making their shots.
Florida State taking on Gonzaga. Florida State with the massive upset of Xavier, overcoming the 12-point lead with about 6 minutes to go in that contest. But Gonzaga, they're peaking at the right time as well, too. Very complete. This was a young team at the beginning of the year, kind of like Kentucky, and they're playing very, very well. The question is Florida State going to have enough offense to upset Gonzaga?
Florida State reminds me of the old Al McGuire teams of the 70s. They don't particularly wow you, but they're like a cockroach in a plate of spaghetti. They're going to fall in and mess things up.
Well, that sounds like that's coming from a personal experience, which I'm not sure if I want to dine with you, Bernie, where you're coming with those kind of references.
Well, you know me. I eat at those restaurants, no shirt, no shoes, no problem. I mean, I just show up, right? Look, Gonzaga, I thought between losing Zach Collins and Nigel Goss-Williams and 5 guys in the rotation last year, I thought Ohio State was going to get them. And Ohio State could have. They led by 5 with 3 minutes to go. But again, Mark Few, the difference. An extremely well-coached team that does all the little things that don't show up on the box score. It's hard to go against Gonzaga in this matchup. I think Gonzaga advances, but I won't be involved in the game.
All right, last game on Thursday, Texas A&M taking on Michigan. Wolverines, that buzzer beater in Wichita last week. And Texas A&M, the biggest team left standing in the tournament, literally with 3 7-footers. They are just getting so much production from the interior. And as far as I'm concerned, Bernie, they are playing the best ball. They've been the most consistent of all the teams left in of this Sweet 16 with their 2 first-round victories.
They really passed the eye test. They've got a great group of run-and-jump athletes. Can they do it 3 games in a row? Obviously, I'm biased. I've got Michigan winning the whole thing. They're laying 3.5. I do like Michigan in this game. I've been saying it for a couple of months. It started in mid-February. They went 9-3 down the stretch. When they took apart what I thought, we all thought, were the class of the Big Ten, Michigan State and Breslin Center, then did it again 6 weeks later at Madison Square Garden, Michigan showed who they were. Again, 9-3 down the stretch, won 4 games in 4 days to win the Big Ten Conference Tournament, and now they're in the Sweet 16. They do 2 things very well. They get stops, and they make baskets. And in conference play, they out-rebounded their opponents by 9 rebounds per game. That's saying something. I love Mo Wagner. They've had their survive and advance game, just like UConn had a couple 3 years ago against St. Joe's in the first round. And I think they're going to regroup, and I think they're too much for Texas A&M for 40 minutes. But again, we'll find out. I got to tell you, TC, if we're talking next week and freaking Nevada's in the Final Four, I wouldn't bet a finger that they're not going to be. I can't believe this tournament.
I hear you. Michigan, 11 straight. They have won. Fantastic. All right. We'll dive into the Friday games in more detail in the next couple days. But real quick, Bernie, while I got you on the phone, Syracuse, Duke, Clemson, Kansas, West Virginia, Villanova, Texas Tech, Purdue. Which one of those games catches your eye?
Well, of those games, I like Texas Tech as the only dog to win outright. Chris Beard, while he was at Arkansas Little Rock, got Purdue 2 years ago, just before the Chris Beard era began at UNLV. And
for 13 days.
He has the formula. And without Haas, Purdue's not going to be the same. But they're better coached than Matt Painter probably gets credit for. And Purdue's got plenty of shooters. But again, Texas Tech, they're a grinder team. And by the way, I should have said this about Texas A&M and Michigan. That's really going to be a grinder game because I like the under in that game. Michigan still has the number one defense of all the teams remaining, and Texas A&M has the number four offense. So something's got to give. I think it's going to be a grinder. But to answer your question directly, of those four games you mentioned, I think Duke gets Syracuse. I think Kansas gets Clemson. But watch out. Texas Tech, I believe, is going to beat Purdue in advance to the Elite Eight.
All right. Looking forward to all of that action. All right, my friend. Always appreciate the time, as always. Let's see. Before we let Bernie go, let's give Bernie a song here, okay? We won't
go. Now, why am I nervous? See, because I think I'm going to be punished because I was 4-0, I think, right, TC?
You're 4-0. Okay. This is more the – this is an exhibition, okay? This isn't the full-fledged, you know – the TC Old School Music Challenge, where we're going to give you, you know, the layup, the free throw, the three-pointer, and the buzzer beater, 4-4. We're just going to give you one song here, Bernie. So we'll call this an exhibition to maybe ease your nerves a little bit. Is that all right?
Why not? Let's do it, my friend.
Okay, because I know how much you love the old school music. So here we go. Let's fire a song away. I'll let DJ Magnum pick a song here. You ready, DJ Magnum? Of course he's ready. There it is. All right, what do you got for Bernie? Oh, that's a good one. They all can't be softballs, Bernie.
This is like a Ron Guidry slider in Twilight, so I got to hear this.
Okay. Yeah, we got nothing but time. That's okay here.
It's a pretty long...
That's a long intro. It is. Yeah. You wait for the words? Well, actually... The words may give it away, though, so we might have to.
One of the problems is I hear the instrumental, but truthfully, I can hardly hear it.
All right, Bernie, we're going to have to fade out now.
Well, look, the bottom line is even Joe DiMaggio's 56 game streak ended, so I could blurt something out like, you know, the Whispers or Shalimar. But I don't have this. I can't hear this. I couldn't get it.
Oh, that was Tom Brown and Thighs High.
Yeah, see, I wasn't going to get that. Yeah. There's no way.
Yeah, see. All right, Magnum, give Bernie the Charlie Huff knuckler coming in about 62 miles per hour. Pump it up there so he can hear it. This will make you feel better.
Yeah, I'm not on my game. I know this song, too. And I'm not going to get it. I'm going to whiff.
Oh, no!
I can even give you the year this song came out, but I'm going to whiff on it. So I got to take my medicine today,
wow.
Buddy. I went to the well one too many times.
Wow. All right. That was Eric Burden and War. The Eric Burden version.
Yeah. Well, Eric Burden before he was with the Animals.
The Animals, then he was War. That was Spill the Wine, my friend.
Yeah, Spill the Wine. Yep, very good.
You can't spill the wine. You know, dig that pearl, Bernie.
Yeah, you got me. Okay. I'm sitting here waiting for Billy Don't Be a Hero by Bo Donaldson and the Haywoods, and you just froze me.
Oh, that's okay. That's what we do here. That's okay. You're good. Do not hang your head, my friend, okay? Just there's plenty of time for you to come back next time around, okay? Just because you're down by 22, ask your boy Eric Musselman. You could still come back.
right. Yeah, not one of my better efforts today. No sugarcoating it.
No problem. Well, we got a little tough with you. That first one was a little bit tough, but, you know, again. But I know that if I went with something like Question Mark and the Mysterians, you would have nailed that.
Well, it's 96 tears.
There you go.
Is there anything else that guy did?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
there isn't anything else that guy did.
The answer is
always.
So
that's why I said 96 tears. Otherwise, if you did it with the Beatles, I'd have had to, you know, name a ton of songs.
And to be fair, off air earlier today, I did give Bernie another one, and he nailed it. He nailed it to the wall. With the song is mistaking me now too. Which one I gave you earlier today, and you did nail it.
I'm not even remembering it.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I haven't been
Nassau's
drinking.
Got
maybe
funky.
I should have
Funky
been.
Nassau. You got Funky Nassau. That's what that was.
Funky Nassau. Yep, the end is near.
The beginning of the end, but same difference.
Beginning of the end. Yep.
All right, Bernie. We're going to have to go to a Magnum update because that'll save us all at this point in time.
Good luck with your bracket. Thanks for having me, TC.
Take care, brother. Appreciate it as always. Bernie Fratto doing his thing. Breaking down the tournament and some great thoughts there with Nevada, the Mountain West Conference represented with two teams this year, and Michigan, hail to the victors. We'll see if they can march on. There we go. Don't give this song to Brian Benowitz. Don't do that. He'll choke on it too. These guys nail everything else, and then the softballs, the layups we give them, you think they get it. But a lot of pressure, Magnum, to do well on We Go Name That Tune.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, this is one everyone should get this, though. I mean, it was the end of Goodfellas.
Exactly.
I mean, I can't imagine anyone who has not seen Goodfellas.
No, fantastic movie.
Yes.
Get on over to one of the fantastic CG Technology sportsbooks and get involved in the mobile app. For the rest of this tournament, they still have the special. If you do not have a CG Technology mobile app, they're going to give you a $68 bonus. $68 as in 68 teams started the NCAA tournament. So they're making that offer to you until the end of the tournament. So go deposit some money, open an account at any of the great CG Technology sportsbooks at the M Resort, the Palms, the Silverton, the Venetian Palazzo, the Hard Rock, the Tropicana, or the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas. That's it. It's a match play bonus. So if you deposit, for example, $68 or more, they will give you $68 free in your account. You can't beat that. Get the CG Technology mobile app. It's betting made easy. All right. Closing out the college basketball talk for today. Magnum mentioned it in his update. Of course, David Padgett, not Scott Padgett, David Padgett is out. He was the interim coach taking over for Rick Pitino. He's out at Louisville. And yes, Chris Mack, the Xavier coach, looks like he is the front runner for that job. And, you know, Padgett didn't do a bad job. They were 9-9 in conference, 22-14 overall. Wouldn't surprise me. His name is actually being mentioned for the Utah State job.
Interesting.
Yeah, think about that.
Very interesting. What is the connection?
I'm not sure there is one, but here's a guy that they feel that learned under Pitino, proved himself pretty well this past year.
And a lot of adversity.
Exactly. So,
I've also seen that former guy who coached here is in the running for the Utah State job.
I think I said that about a month ago. I thought he would be the Colorado State head coach, but Utah State even makes more sense because he had been there before.
Yeah, plus he's got the connection to, you know, he was also an assistant at BYU as well.
Exactly,
so,
right.
You know, when he knows the conference, that's the other thing.
I like Dave Rice, rooting for Dave Rice. Hopefully he does get another head coaching job, and I think he will get another head coaching job.
He'll get another opportunity somewhere.
All right, last night, Golden Knights victorious 4-1. However, Marc-Andre Fleury leaves the game at the end of the first period. So, Magny, you can give us an update. I know that there was talk about a possible concussion. Took a puck to the face mask, is from what I heard earlier today. I know you were at the press conference earlier, Gerard Gallant. Give us the latest.
Well, not really a whole lot of news. Fleury will not travel with the team today. Gallant did not rule out that he would not meet up with the team tomorrow or after that, but he was not on the ice today, although the Golden Knights said it was an optional skate. Emergency goalie, I believe his name is Alex Bjork, he was out there today. We have not received any word of either Max Legacy or Oscar Dansk being called up from Chicago. But the Wolves were off today, so my guess would be if they did need to do it, they would use the call-up tomorrow as opposed to today. But no Fleury today at practice, and they weren't really saying a whole lot of anything about the injury. We do know he was injured. They're not saying anything as far as what it is.
Knights get the victory last night, 4-1 in front of another packed T-Mobile crowd. Great night last night. Only a handful of games left. Big game tomorrow night for the Golden Knights as they take on the San Jose Sharks in San Jose at the SAP Arena. And, of course, you can hear that action right here tomorrow night. Fox Sports Radio 98.9, 1340 AM. Looking forward to that. I want to thank Bernie Fratto for joining us. Tomorrow, more college basketball as we get ready. Sweet 16. Four games coming your way tomorrow night. Action will start immediately after our show tomorrow, so make sure you tune in for that. four on Thursday, four on Friday. It's awesome. Sweet 16, and either Loyola or Nevada going to be marching on to at least the Elite Eight. See how that works out. All right, have yourself a good one. If you miss any part of the show, go to the website. Check it out later. It'll be up there. Check out the latest interviews, the blogs. It's all there at tcmartinshow.com. Follow us on Twitter at tcmartin21. JT the Brick coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow at 3:00.